You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. It is wonderful to have your company. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you once again to look at this week's golf. Just the one event this week, but it's a big one. The BMW PGA Championship on the European Tour. Dave Tindall joins me on Skype on this Tuesday morning. First of all, good morning to you, Mr. Tindall.
Good morning, Dave, and on this very sunny Tuesday morning.
It's lovely out there, isn't it?
Yeah, which has relevance, I guess, if you're listening from overseas and you're thinking, oh, maybe England at this time of year is a bit miserable. Well, it's about 28 degrees, isn't it, today and tomorrow? Cools off a little bit for the tournament, but generally good weather.
Yeah, I think we'll have quite dry conditions, won't we? Which is pretty good news for the event in Surrey this week. We'll get stuck into the BMW PGA Championship in due course. Just want to talk about last week first, as we always do. Reflect on Patrick Cantlay scooping the FedEx Cup jackpot in Eastlake and not shooting the lowest 72 hole total. That went to John Rahm and Kevin Na, and I was left underwhelmed. I think a lot of people on Twitter were watching the second day of the Solheim Cup and not really focused on the event in Eastlake. And that's not good for the PGA Tour's showpiece event, is it?
No. I mean, I've seen a lot of debate about, is the format just terrible? Sometimes whatever format you're using, it just goes against you. If Cantlay had a terrible week, then it might have been interesting, or Rahm had underplayed. But you know, even in a normal 72-hole stroke clay event, if you get somebody leading by eight after day two, it's a bit of a dull event. So it was kind of Cantlay being too proficient, because he didn't shoot the lowest score, but you can't actually say that he might not have done, because he was protecting a lead, so he didn't have to.
Mm.
So he did, within the confines of the situation, he shot kind of the score that was necessary. So, I mean, I've been racking my brains to think of something better. I've come up with absolutely nothing of you.
No, I'm very similar. Like, I don't think the format's perfect. I don't think it is the disaster that many people suggest that it is, but I can't think of anything better, really, at this stage. They basically want to reward those players that have played well in the playoffs and give them an advantage going into the Tour Championship at Eastlake, and to do that they've come up with the reward by offering them an advantage going into the final event. It just makes for an underwhelming spectacle on well, throughout the four rounds really, but particularly on Sunday. We knew going into Sunday it was virtually a two horse race, didn't we, really?
Well, we probably knew that fairly soon, didn't we?
Yeah.
But they still had to play well to make it a two-horse race. Mm. It wasn't just those two had been given a 20-shot start at the beginning. I don't know. The only thing I thought of was, you know, like NFL maybe. Somehow you can't have home field advantage, but you can be further into the draw, can't you? So you could possibly, on some level, I don't know,
yeah,
into match play,
yeah.
So you could put the top four through to the semis, or no, that wouldn't work, the quarters or something like that.
Yeah, you could do that. I think if the only way to give this event relevance is probably by making it match play, but then a lot of people don't like watching match play singles either, so I don't know what the perfect scenario is, and I'm sure there'll be, maybe they'll make tweaks as the year. I think the one thing the PGA Tour will look at this year is that it clashed with the Solheim Cup, and it seemed that most people were watching the Solheim Cup. I watched the final round of the Tour Championship personally, but I think the vast majority of golf fans were watching the Solheim Cup.
Yeah, I was surprised that it was sort of calendared for the same weekend, which is a bit odd. I know the Solheim finished on Monday, which gave it its own stage, but yeah, confusing. I think I might have said this last year, based on the Krypton Factor and a 70s TV program where you penalise the leaders, which you can't really do, but it would make it a more interesting tournament, wouldn't it, if those who played well were actually started further back?
Yeah.
So you almost flipped it. So you know, Rahm had maybe, I don't know. So those who were 26 to 30 actually were given like a stroke lead. But that would never get past anywhere.
No. I enjoyed all the speculation about the Steve Stricker US Ryder Cup picks as well. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, there was a lot of clamour in some corners for Kevin Kisner to get a wild card, and now he's not even favourite in the top Kevin market following Niall's performance last week.
And Niall's plea to... He actually texted him, didn't he? He said, come on, Steve. Did you see that?
Yeah, it's one of those things, though. He's just not... The stats suggest that he's just not suited to Whistling Straits. But he would be a... He'd be annoying to play against, I'd imagine, Kevin, now in match play.
Oh, he'd be really up for it, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Say this event was sort of dying on its backside and there wasn't any interest. If you needed someone to sort of whip it up again, you'd get Kevin Na on board, wouldn't you, to antagonise everybody.
Mm. On this side of the pond, Nikolai Højgaard took advantage of a sponsor's invite to win the Italian Open a week after his twin brother, Rasmus Højgaard, won in Switzerland, which... incredible, really, for him and for the family.
Well, the family, yeah, what a family they are. Forget the Corders, it's the Højgaards that are this number one sporting family, yeah, unbelievable. Maybe we should have the debate which is going to be the better player.
Yeah, Rasmus looks like the better probably, one now, yeah, does Rasmus. It? But then a lot of people have said that Nikolai was the one growing up, so it'd be fascinating to see how those career trajectories go in the next 15 years or so, Dave.
Yeah, definitely. I guess it's a bit late for them to get on the Ryder Cup team, is it? If one of them won this week, maybe that would.
Yeah, I think if Rasmus won this week,
yeah,
he'd have a chance. And that's the fascinating thing about this week, isn't it? I'll spin you through the prices first of all for the BMW PGA Championship before we get stuck into information about the course and the Ryder Cup this week as well. Victor Hovland is the favourite at 10-1. Tyrrell Hatton is 16. Shane Lowry, 18-1. Matthew Fitzpatrick is 22s, along with Alex Noren and Tommy Fleetwood. Billy Horschel, 28-1. Adam Scott is 30s. Ian Poulter is 30-1. It's 33-1. Lee Westwood, Christian Bezuidenhout and Justin Rose, and it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. And we're top price guaranteed on the top 10 with William Hill, plus we are paying 8 places each way as well. So fascinating week coming up on the European Tour with the BMW PGA Championship. And it's an event where it's an event in which Wentworth can have the spotlight all on its own as well. And there's even more significance to this tournament too, given it's the last week of qualification for the Ryder Cup. There are a few on the fringes as well that will look to stake a claim, and others that can't automatically qualify but will be wanting to make a big impression in the hope of securing a wild card from Padraig Harrington. And I think that makes it all the more intriguing this week, Dave.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many permutations. The ruling is the top four players on the Race to Dubai points list for the European Tour. So currently that would be John Rahm, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton and Rory McIlroy. And then you go down to the next five players not on that list who are in the world points standing. So those five at the minute would be Hovland, Casey, Fitzpatrick, Westwood and Lowry.
Mm.
Harrington's given himself 3 picks. Steve Stricker, what were the Americans thinking to give themselves 6 picks?
Yeah, it's bizarre that, isn't it? Because
are they so obsessed about getting the right team?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. I think they're obsessed with getting the right team, and they want to have or give Stricker the best possible opportunity. So if someone, a surprise package maybe, would have forced him his way into the Ryder Cup. They don't want that, do they, Dave? They want to be able to select the elite team kind of thing.
Yeah, because they were really good at selecting the wild cards last time, weren't they, when three of them got nil points.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Ryder Cup because the Solheim Cup sort of got the juices flowing, didn't it, to a certain extent? And you're winning the Solheim Cup. I think there's, and given the division, seeming division in the US Ryder Cup team, with their some of their personalities clashing, perhaps it makes it all the more interesting. Even though the event is being held at Whistling Straits, which is a course that you would expect to suit more of the Americans.
Yeah, if you were stricter on that course, probably in on any Ryder Cup course nowadays, for when the Americans are at home, you'd be hoping you could get people like Scotty Scheffler on that team, wouldn't you? People like that, rather than the sort of short hitters. It kind of made me laugh. Some of the Europeans who were sort of tweeting about the Solheim Cup, it was almost like, look how much we're into match play. We love it. Do you want to pick us, Padre? Just to... like Poulter and Rose and stuff.
I think it would be madness not to take Scotty Scheffler personally. And the people, some people are suggesting Kevin Kisner and Kevin Na should go in front of Scheffler. But I think Scheffler's finished top 20 in all four majors and finished top 20 in all the WGCs.
He's been brilliant all year, and I've sort of followed him off a cliff, to be honest, and tried to anticipate his first win. And to be fair, he's given me some nice each-way returns here and there. And as you said, played well in a lot of those big events. The only slight concern, he's just tailed off a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
I think Stricker would have been hoping he would just rack up a top 10 or two in the playoffs, but he didn't. So that's always a slight concern. But I do think on that course, him and... say Finau, you've got to pick those, haven't you? Sure.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think. I just think he makes so many birdies, Scotty Scheffler. I think he's just going to be a real asset in four ball play in particular. I'd definitely take Scotty Scheffler 100%. Personally,
you've got to. I presume I haven't looked at their list. I presume he's not qualified.
No, he's not. He's not.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this course that hosts the BMW PGA Championship. The West Course was designed by Harry Colts in the 20s and has undergone two serious reconstructions in recent times, with Ernie Els making alterations in 2009 and 2016. The feedback from those modifications has definitely been mixed, but the 2016 changes, with a number of the bunkers being removed and the sub-air system being introduced and the greens being relayed as well with bent grass, have been positively received. What do you view as key criteria here, Dave? The top three in strokes gained tee to green last year finished first, second and third. I just think, personally, a strong all-round game and Wentworth form is an ideal blend. But then that's hardly reinventing the wheel, is it really? Are you expecting those on the fringes of the Ryder Cup conversation to be inspired this week as well? Is that something that you've taken into account? What's your analysis here coming into this event?
Yeah, I think it is one of those do everything well. I mean, and particularly sometimes you get courses where it might not matter what you do around the greens, but it definitely does here. If you go through past winners, a lot of them probably topped the week for scrambling.
Yeah.
That was the case with Hatton last year. I think Molinari did it when he won, Benny Arn, I think, as well. But a lot of those have also played really well tee to green, so... that is important. I suppose the slight emphasis on the short game might be exaggerated a little bit. If the court is playing a bit firm and fast, might be harder to hold the greens than normal. So the a strong short game will be particularly important. But there's nothing you can't fake it on any level around here, definitely. But as for your other point, yes, I wouldn't be surprised if the Ryder Cup hopefuls will be just giving it that little bit more.
I've got two selections.
I've got three.
Okay, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I'm gonna lead off using the angle of the Ryder Cup on Justin Rose.
Okay.
33-1. I've been trying to get a handle. I'm pretty sure now if he doesn't live permanently in the UK, he's trying to get it that way. I think he's gradually started to move his family back. Over here, his brother's moved back, I know, and he's been thinking in terms of, he's talking about these 10-year blocks where he's done maybe 10 years in America, I think in the Bahamas as well, but he now wants to maybe make the next 10 because he's got kids of school age over in the UK. And then one of his tweets said recently, can't wait for the PGA at my home course, Wentworth.
All right, well, okay.
Why is that his home course?
No idea.
No, I don't. Seems a bit of a grand title to give it, but I think the family had moved to Putney in London. That's quite his home course then, but clearly from the past, he's got lots of associations with it. I think he might be an ambassador on some level. But the main thing is he obviously can play it well, so he's twice a runner-up in this event. It's one that's taunted him a little bit. He's had loads of top 10s, top 12s, runner-up 2007-2012. He was 12th in 2017, 8th again 2019. I can find four of the top 12s. So he's done a lot of good stuff on this course without quite getting the win. Now, obviously, you kind of think this isn't the full Justin Rose that we were used to a few years back. But to be honest, he's played some of the big events well this year. Seventh at the Masters. Was he the 54-hole leader, I think? Eighth in the PGA. 20th at Colonial. Then on his most recent start, he was 10th at the Wyndham. So I think there's enough form going in there. He's had to sort of, you know, reevaluate and change a few things. But his recent around the green stats are good. 10th and 20th, the last two events. Struck the ball well at the Wyndham as well. I just thought 33-1 was a decent enough price for someone who's probably gone off at about 12s in this event before. I know, obviously, his form was different, but I think with the pull of the Ryder Cup, I mean, he might know he's already on that team or virtually, but even if he does know that, he might just want to prove that he's worthy of a place, and I think this is a great chance for him to do so. I just thought 33-1, that was a fair price.
Yeah, he's kind of leaned on the short game a little bit more than we're used to with Justin Rose, hasn't he, this season? Because I remember him having such a good week with the putter at the Masters, and in particular the PGA Championship was just ridiculous, wasn't it, how well he putted there. So it's not been the metronomic striking we expect from Rose this season, has it, really?
No. So I mean, you can't have everything. He's 33-1 for a reason. Yeah. I think there's enough good form in events when he's needed to pull something out, and I think he does this week as well, or he really wants to.
You know what? I've gone with the favourite this week, Dave, which is unusual. I fancy Victor Hovland strongly this week, especially with eight places.
Is he good enough around the greens?
I think he's improved around the greens, but I just think his ball striking is going to carry him into contention on Sunday. I've gone around the houses with it a little bit, but I think there's just enough juice in the price with us paying eight places. I just think he's the best player in this field by a fair margin now, and he won by a couple of shots on his latest start in Europe at the BMW International Open. Hopefully he can complete the BMW double this week with a win in the European Tour's big events. He's clearly at the top of his game. He topped the tee to green stats on a difficult layout at East Lake last week, shooting rounds of 66 on Thursday and 65 on Sunday. He's got a little bit of Wentworth experience as well, finished tied for 11th on his tournament debut in 2019. And that year he ranked 16th off the tee and 9th in approach, which clearly shows the course suits his eye. Short game has improved since then as well. That was a couple of years ago when he wasn't half the player he is now. And I just think he's coming to the boil at the right time. He's a confident pick for me, each way at 10-1, Victor Hovland. I think he'll go very close to winning. And you've got those eight places each way, which I really like at 10-1. So I'll play him a couple of points each way, Victor Hovland, this week.
Yeah, I was only playing devil's advocate there by saying his short game. I think he's got a massive chance. The fact that he did just come back to Europe and got that win kind of shows. I think that's important. If you're backing him this week, it's nice to have that under your belt, yeah, that he's he's cracked Europe already, as it were. I think I can't see him not being a big part of this, definitely.
And I just look at some of the players towards the top of the betting, personally speaking, that they've got a few questions to answer in a little bit. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood last week played well to finish second, but it was mainly leaning on the short game, and his long
That's
game
was ridiculously good.
Yeah, it was ridiculously good. Just unlike Tommy Fleetwood, really. And there's just a few right towards the top of the betting that I think are a little bit.
Yeah,
they've got questions to answer and a little bit out of form, whereas Victor Hovland's just at the top of his game right now, on the peak of his powers.
Yeah, I think so. If you're I think the dangers are coming a bit further down.
Yeah, so I agree. I agree.
The one with the sort of cast iron credentials. My second pick then is just a little bit further down. Christian Buzwedenhout.
Yeah, I can see that. 33s.
Yeah, we're talking about short game here. One of the best in the business in that part of the game. And he proved it only last week when he wrapped up his PGA Tour card with a third place at the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. So that will put him in great heart. He finished with a 64 there, ranked first for scrambling, 81.3%. So he was getting it up and down time after time. Then he was just winding further back. I mean, he hasn't missed a cut in, well, I can't find him when he last missed a cut, but he was 10th in that, how do we ever pronounce it? Boise Open.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, two starts ago. 16th in the men's Olympic golf competition. So 16th, 10th and a third in three of his last four starts. So that's nice form. And he's got the course form as well, which is very reassuring. On his debut here, in 2019, he was third, which was an excellent effort. Four rounds in the 60s. Didn't play so well last year, but last year was a bit odd of an odd year. It's played a little bit later in the year, and he was 40th. But, you know, another four laps under his belt. So I just think it's hard to find fault with him, really. And if there is a little bit more focus on the short game this week, if the course is quite fast, especially maybe over the first 2 days when temperatures are hotter, I think he's your man. So, yeah, Buzwedenhout at 33s.
Very good. Your second selection. I'm going way further down the list for my second and final pick here. I quite like Eddie Pepperell at 150-1 this week as my second selection. He comes alive, obviously, on British and Irish soil, and there was enough in last week's performance in Italy for my money. He was really good in the first round, gaining almost four strokes on the field on approach, and was still in contention going into the weekend, only four off the lead, but dropped down the leaderboard there. And I think if he'd had a better Saturday and Sunday, he'd be a shorter price this week without question. Wentworth form is decent. He's finished sixth on the West Coast twice, including last year. And most of his top results on tour have come in this part of the world. He won the British Masters in 2018, finished second when defending that title a year later. Tied fourth and tied second in a couple of Irish Opens, albeit on links courses, and second in the Scottish Open in 2018. And he just strikes me as a player that's overpriced this week at 150-1, albeit in a slightly deeper field than to which we are accustomed on the European Tour. But I like Pepperell at 150s this week.
Jolly good, which yep, of course is my code for saying I don't particularly agree with you.
Who's your third selection?
I can say what you're saying.
Yeah, obviously you take it. Yeah. Anyone down this part of the odds list, you're taking a little bit of a flyer, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, there's that thing as well, isn't there, that so many winners or contenders in the past, and we saw it again last year, have been not just English players, but English players who have a connection to the South.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got that with Rose, you've got that with Pepperell. What do you think of Ian Poulter before I do my last...
Yeah, I was kind of tempted by Poulter. He's got like a Marmite affair, hasn't he, with Wentworth, the West Course, a little bit. But I think he'll play well this week.
Do you think Americans will understand that when you said that he's got a Marmite affair?
Maybe not. Would it be Vegemite affair? And is that what they call it down under?
That's maybe Australia.
Is that Australia? I don't know what the equivalent of Marmite is in...
Yeah, the overall idea is it's you either love it or hate it.
Yes. What is Marmite in the States? Let me have a quick look.
I don't know. Maybe it's just Marmite.
Yeah, it's just...
I wonder if they use it as in that same phrase that we do.
I have no idea, to be honest.
I'll tell you what, Hershey's chocolate, terrible. Absolutely awful.
Well, most American chocolate's pretty terrible, in my opinion. Well,
I like the ones that are made by the sort of galaxy people. Like their Milky Ways taste like Mars's.
Yeah.
Mars, so they're very good. But
Reese's Hershey's is good.
It's an awful chocolate. Although the cookies and cream one is good.
Yeah.
But the original's terrible.
Yeah, you can buy Marmite in Walmart, so I don't know if... yeah, it's just called Marmite. But I'm not sure whether they would have guessed the phraseology I used there.
Right. Well, you know, you might get a parcel sent by them and I will get an angry letter from Hershey's.
Well, I'm one of those that hates it, unfortunately.
Marmite?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah. We digress, don't we, a little bit? Just a little bit.
Yeah. What were we saying?
We were talking about Ian Poulter. What's your thoughts on Poulter?
Yeah, they asked him that. They said, I mean, they used the phrase, I think last time, you've got a bit of a love-hate relationship, yes, with the course. It's easier to understand. And he said, yeah, that's down to him. It's not the course. It was him playing badly a lot of times.
Yeah.
But his best result was last year when he was fifth. Just that sort of Ryder Cup thing coming up, that he'll be so keen to play well and get his game going.
Do you think Henrik Stenson's left his run too late? Do you think if he won this week, he'd tempt Padraig Harrington into picking him?
Oh, I think if he came about third this week, he'd have a great chance of being picked.
Do you think so?
To be honest. Yeah. If you look at what Thomas Bjorn did last time, he picked all the old guys, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think I said last week, three players in the 40s and one in, who was 38 last time, and it absolutely worked a treat, didn't it? They were, got 9.5 points between them. Just the dressing room. I mean, you've seen in the Solheim Cup how important it is, the dressing room again, to the Europeans, how well they seem to become more than the sum of their parts. And you know, you've seen Stenson take part in those European Tour kind of anger management things as well. He's a really popular member of the team,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's finished 4th, 3rd, and 15th on his last three starts and has good form at Wentworth. I can see him being a popular selection this week.
Yeah, I think so. Just slightly disappointed that he faded last week when he had such a good start. But yeah, no, he didn't make it for me. But I'd be really happy to see him play well though this week and put himself in contention. My final pick, again, it's a Ryder Cup hopeful, but one who's probably maybe not on the radar as obvious as others. Victor Perez.
Okay.
That's your jolly good, isn't it?
Okay. No, I like Victor Perez a lot, so it's not quite my jolly good. Any, he finished second here last year, didn't he?
He did. So he's got, that was on debut, so he's obviously got that in the bag. But you go through his results, and he seems to just come alive in these sort of last few months of the season. Mm. Even in his Challenge Tour days, I mean, he's probably best known for winning the Dunhill Links in October, but this event last year showed he played well again this time of year, and it was a similar thing. He was out of form for a lot of the summer last time, and then I think he had a decent run maybe somewhere the week before, and then he came in and was second. Well, it's very similar this time. He's been fairly terrible since he did so well in the match play in Texas where he got to the semis. Had 5 missed cuts out of 6. Did nothing at St Jude. Then he came back to England and was 13th in the Kazoo Classic. And then he was 18th in last week's Italian Open, where, you know, he might have thought he could do much better, just fell away with a final round 74. But very good on approach last week. Nice numbers there. Tee to green was his best since the Players' Championship, where he was 9th, which obviously shows his class. There's a lot of links as well, haven't there? Been Sawgrass and Wentworth. You've seen a lot of the same players do well.
Yeah.
Mentioned Stenson, Molinari springs to mind.
Eddie Pepperell.
Yeah. Very good. So, yeah, I thought Perez, and he's near enough on the world points list to think he might even qualify automatically. He's 12th on the world points list, and you can knock out some of them like Rahm and McIlroy are going to qualify by other means. So he's not that far off. So he could either get in there automatically with a big week this week, or certainly put himself in contention for a wildcard pick. But I thought his second on the course is obviously a big thing, but the fact that he's running into form just as he always does at this time of year was enough to to get me involved at 50s.
Very good. 50-1. Dave's second selection is Victor Perez this week. Who else came close for you? I must admit I was tempted by Alex Noren, but I think the price is too short on Noren this week at 22-1. I just think that was a little bit skinny, and he just missed that really short putt, didn't he, to qualify for the Tour Championship Eastlake. But obviously, he came with a wet sail here a few years back to win. Noren, and he's got good course form, good recent form. I can see why he's popular anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Brandon Grace at 40s.
Yeah.
Would appeal. He's played well here before plenty of times. He's showed up strongly, didn't he, in the majors this year, in the recent majors, so he'd be there. I always think Migliozzi should do well here, but he's not done so far.
Yeah, I thought that. He's missed a couple of cuts, hasn't he, Migliozzi? And I thought he's one that I'd definitely be interested in maybe next year if he performs well this time round.
Yeah, I saw the price and thought, oh, and then I went to check his form, thinking he might have like a 23rd or something, but two missed cuts was a bit off-putting. I've seen a few people going for Sam Horsfield at 60s. He's an elite player, and he's maybe, you know, you may be surprised he is down at 60s, given the kind of heights he can hit. He sort of drifted back to that sort of price quite quickly. Minwoo Lee, who disappointed, didn't he, last week? I backed him each way for first round leader, which was good, but
I was hoping that he'd have a good weekend because he was banged out. I mean, he was fortunate still to be in contention after the third round, wasn't he, really? His short game saved him completely, but yeah, it was a bit frustrating, that.
Yeah. A bit further down, about the same price as Minwoo Lee. Sean Crocker's obviously playing very, very well at the minute.
Yeah.
Second, fourth and 18th, last three starts. Did play it last year, actually. 44th, which, okay, as a kind of bit of groundwork. But his tee to green numbers are superb, really are. He was first in approach in two of his last three starts. Don't know if his short game's particularly great, though. Looking at his around the green stats, they seem to be negative on 0 point something every event. So we'll see. But very good ball striker, obviously.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. And we've kind of referenced the top end of the market, haven't we? There was no one that really stood out apart from the ones we mentioned.
The only one I think that maybe people will back here every year, as a matter of course, is Shane Lowry.
Yeah.
He's 18, so that's probably kind of his standard price, isn't it, at this event? It'd be annoying if he won. I mean, he's what, 1, 2, 3, 4? His last six starts have all been 26th or better. I mean, if you sort of trace the line back.
His iron play's come around, hasn't it? Definitely.
Yeah. If he wins, there's like, you can't really say, well, I didn't back him because of that. It's kind of there. He's got the course form. Top 15 in 7 of his last 8 appearances here, which is some going, and a fourth even further back than that. So absolute course specialist whose form is good enough without being spectacular. But I suppose that's all adds up to sort of 18-1, I guess, isn't it? Mm. It's not a sort of price where you go, all right, got to dive in on that.
Should we recap the selections?
Yes.
You've got three picks, so I'll let you go first.
Yeah, so I'll go a point each way in all three of these. So I'll go with Justin Rose at 33s, Christian Buswedenhout at 33s, and Victor Perez at 50s.
I've got two selections. I'm going at 2 points each way on Victor Hovland at 10-1 and a point each way on Eddie Pepperell this week at 150-1. Dave, thank you for your company.
Yeah, cheers, Dave. Looking forward to this one.
Yeah, me too. Can't wait. You can share your thoughts with us on Twitter at Dave Tyndall Golf and at D Kellner. And do check out all the betting with William Hill. Full range of markets at williamhill.com and on the app. And don't forget, this week we are top price guaranteed on the top 10 for the BMW PGA Championship. And We are paying 8 places each way as well, so make sure you check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. Thank you to Dave Tindall. Thank you everyone that's tuned in and listened. And make sure you get your bets on for the BMW PGA Championship this week. And myself and Dave will be back in the not-too-distant future. Good luck if you're having a bet with William Hill, and enjoy it. It should be a cracking event, the BMW PGA Championship on the West Course at Wentworth is this week's golf event.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.